to notice with me today. A very brief psalm. Has five verses. And I want to look at all five of them with you today. I want to ask you a question when we start. I want you to think. Don't everybody try to tell me at the same time. But think about what's your favorite hymn. Now, if you're like me, it happens to be the one I just got through singing. And it changes every time I sing one. Let me rephrase the question. What's your favorite type of song to sing in worship? You know, there are lots of different styles. Got some are longer, some are shorter, some are slower and very majestic, some are faster and what we call those old gospel style songs. Some have all the parts moving in different directions at different times, and you hope you wind up at the end together by the time you get there. But you know, one thing is I thought about this particular hymn that we're going to read today, this psalm. One thing struck me about all of those psalms, whether it's a toe-tapper that keeps you moving, or whether it's one like Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. They all have one purpose. They may take a different path and a different style to get there, but all of those types of songs that we use in our worship services are designed to do two things. And that two things form one purpose. One thing is to give glory and praise and adoration to the Lord. And the companion thing is to give encouragement and building up to the believers who trust in the Lord and walk here in this world. So they have it has a twofold purpose, but the first and the most important is that it gives glory to the Lord. Now I want you to notice with me today this hymn, but then I want you to notice with me two passages of Scripture to go along with it. You'll notice Psalm 93, verses 1 through 5. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice, and the floods lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. As you read those verses, you can hear the majesticness of the singing of those songs. We don't know what rhythm, what tune the Israelites might have used as they sang, but just the words themselves demand a great sense of awe and respect. The Lord reigneth. And I hope you go home today with those three words, the Lord reigneth, just echoing in your head, and thoughts of what they mean there with you. Father, speak to us through your word. Take us in your guiding Holy Spirit. Empower us to understand. Convince us of the things we need to know. Convict us of the things we need to change. And encourage us in the steps we need to take. you reign on high. Help us, O Lord, to declare this truth and to rejoice in it, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. And amen. Now, I ask about the styles of music for a reason. I want you to notice two passages of Scripture that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. For one, Ephesians chapter 5. And I ask you to notice verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who moves whithersoever He will and creates an effect, like you see the effect of the wind, even though you may not be able to see. We may see the effect of the wind as this storm comes up the coast, and it might move some objects around, but you still can't see the wind. But His power is evident. We don't see the Holy Spirit, but we can be filled with Him. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. Here's part of the effect of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves. Notice that you speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now you'll notice that there is a twofold, both a vertical message in this singing, and there is a horizontal message, speaking to yourselves and speaking to the Lord. But you'll notice that He said they were to use the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The variety of what's there. All of the different styles are to have the same effect. If there's a song that doesn't accomplish those two things, if there's something in a song that doesn't accomplish those two things, then we ought not sing it in worship. Because that's the purpose of our singing. Whether it's a psalm, whether it's a hymn, or whether it's a spiritual song, and I understand that that spiritual song is a particular type of music that was to be accompanied by stringed instruments. All three of them. In the book of Colossians, Paul makes a similar statement to the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now read both of those because of the similarity, and to notice that Paul gave that admonition to the church at Ephesus. He gave that church that admonition to the church of the Colossians. We can transpose that admonition to the church at Riverside. That as we sing, that we sing to one another with grace in our hearts. And that as we sing to the Lord. So now I want you to keep in mind that as we read this psalm today, that that's what we're doing, speaking in psalms to the Lord and to one another. I want you to notice this psalm. Let me read the entirety of it again, and then we'll go particularly to the first verse. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. The throne, thy throne, the Lord's throne, is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Thou, first person, you, Lord. You see, he's speaking to the Lord. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. One of the things you'll notice about many of the Psalms as we read them is that as the writers loaded them, if I might use that expression, they packed them full of theology. I've heard people say, oh, I don't need theology. Just let it make me happy. Just let it touch my heart. Well, I'm going to tell you, you do need theology. Theology is not a system. Theology is the subject of the study of God, and we need to study Him. If we're going to worship Him, we need to know who He is, the writer of this psalm. And we're not told specifically who it is. But the writer of this psalm loaded these five verses as it's broken down for us with the view of God. And the very first thing he says is, the Lord reigneth. The Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the one who needs nobody else, the one who needed no one to be who he is, the one who needs no one to stay who he is, and the one who will always be who he is, the Lord reigneth. That word's lost a lot of its depth of meaning to us because we no longer live under a monarchy. We have a representative form of government in which we vote for one set of people who vote for other things on our behalf. And leaders are elected for a period of time and then power is transferred and there are new leaders and other people. Sometimes we agree with them and sometimes we don't. And we seem to think that it's our right to particularly voice our opposition. And sometimes we do it too much rather than praying for the ones that may need to have something different going on. But when this phrase is used that says, the Lord reigneth, we need to understand that the expression is of a sovereign ruler who rules by his own word and by his own action without input and without influence from anyone else. When the scripture says the Lord reigns, the Lord rules. The Lord sits upon the throne. We like to talk about the sovereignty of God as a subject relative to His grace. Salvation is dependent upon the sovereignty of God as God has chosen His people and redeemed His people and holds His people, and it's about a sovereign Lord who saves us. But the sovereign Lord also rules. The Lord reigns. That's not dependent upon you. It's not dependent upon me. Look at the second verse. Thy throne, the Lord's throne is established from when? Did His throne become effective when Israel became a nation? Did His throne become effective when that bunch of slaves was led out of Egypt? Was His throne dependent upon the success of the 12 tribes of Israel? Is His throne dependent upon the behavior and the success of a group of people today? No, His throne is of old, is from of old, from before the foundation of the world. And His throne will be forever. You see, the ringing message of this song, the ringing message to us is that the Lord sits upon a throne as a king. Look at the language in that first verse. He is clothed with majesty. Men ask you what your favorite song was. One of those songs that is in a list that will reach from here to that door back there of my favorites. But is a chorus that we sing sometimes. Majesty. Worship His majesty. He's clothed with that majesty. You understand the imagery? There's the robe of the king. There's the train that follows after him and spreads his influence. There's the crown that sits upon his head. And I'm going to tell you that ain't no Burger King crown either. Have you ever heard the expression, the crown jewels? The idea of this magnificent thing that sits upon his head that distinguishes him from everybody else. He is clothed with majesty. No garment, no piece of gold, no gem set in that gold can equal the reality of the majesty of God who sits in heaven. And yet the best thing we can comprehend is the riches that adorns a king here in this world. He's covered with it. He's wrapped in it. He demonstrates it. He displays it. Folks, if you ever see the trappings of governmental leaders here in this world, and there's a lot of them, they vary from country to country. You ever hear the stirring songs played when they enter the room? You ever see the manner of their transportation? You ever see the crowds that would meet to either praise them or protest them? All of it goes together. But what I want you to understand is that what we ascribe to any earthly leader stands far in the dust to what we ought to ascribe and to what we ought to recognize of the Lord. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. Who gave Him the strength? Let me tell you something. He didn't have to eat Cheerios to get it. He didn't have to eat Wheaties to get it. He didn't have to take vitamins to get it. He girded Himself with strength. He wrapped it around Himself. There is no bending. There is no buckling. There is no swaying. And it's His own strength. He's not dependent upon us to bolster Him and to prop Him up. He's girded. He girded Himself. And in that strength, the world is established. Go with me to another passage of Scripture. Go back into the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. You want to see the majesty? You want to see the strength? You want to hear the word of the sovereign? Then you look upon Jesus the Christ. God has spoken to us. His word to us is in His Son. God come in the flesh. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. This Son is the one whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, has the world established. Because God holds it in His own power. There's a statement in the book of Psalms that says that the Lord sits on His throne in heaven, and He holds in derision those who would rise up against Him. I have to apply that in some chuckling way to those I hear, oh, this is going to happen to the world. That's going to happen to the world. If this is going to fail, that's going to come apart. It can't withstand it. It ain't going to happen. Ain't nothing going to, pardon my good old redneck English, there ain't nothing going to happen to this world until Jesus Christ comes back. He will uphold it in His hands. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, in the midst of all of the naysaying and all of the loud noises that are made in this world today, I don't care whether it's science, education, politics, finance, it doesn't matter to me. God's the one who holds this world in His hands. He got the whole world in His hands. From the little bitty babies to you and me, brother and sister, He's got the whole world. You know what that means? It means the Lord reigns. Daniel chapter 4. The Lord reigns. Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven. Mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored Him who liveth forever, whose dominion, isn't that the same thing as the reign? His area of influence, His kingdom, His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nobody measures up. And He doeth according to His will in the army of the heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Now go with me back into the book of the Revelation. The last few chapters of the recorded Scripture. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. If you've ever heard the strains of that piece of music that we call the Alleluia Chorus, I know it will be. When we get to heaven, it's going to be even more beautiful. But I can't imagine it. When that piece of music starts and when that piece of music reigns and it makes that statement, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This psalm ought to lift our hearts with joy. in the midst of a world that's full of waves of water. Verse 3 and 4 says that the mighty waves raise up. And I thought about that storm that's churning out in the ocean. It may stay way out there. It may come close. We don't know what it's going to do. God does. It's already in His hand and in His path. But you see the churning. I want you to see in your mind the pictures of the erosion that takes place with the churning of the water as the waves roll. And it would eat away at the beach or eat away. I remember a couple of years ago when one of those storms came by, and I think it was down in St. John's County or on down that way. The road was just, the waves had just eaten away underneath it. Okay, that's the image I want you to see today. In the midst of our world, with all of the waves that are flashing about and eating away at confidence, eating away at tradition, eating away at history, eating away at savings, eating away at all of the things that goes on in this world. Listen to the next verse. But the Lord on high is mightier than the mighty waves. You see, folks, nothing can erode God. Nothing can undermine God. Nothing can eat away at Him. The Lord reigneth. And all of the racket in the world cannot diminish that. But now I want to give you two things. We said we sang to the Lord and we spoke to one another. I'm going to give you two things in verse 5. The Lord's testimonies are very sure. The word of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the principles that the Lord gives us are very sure. They're not just sure, they're very sure. They're not going to be moved. What is it Paul said when he wrote, I think it was in Timothy, where he said, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." You see, folks, God's Word, the Scriptures, the things that God commands, the things that He expects us to obey, the things that humans were made to do. He reigns over this world, and what He has given us stands sure. Culture doesn't change it. Politics doesn't change it. Pressure doesn't change it. Money doesn't change it. God's righteousness stands sure. And the message that we give one another is, this is what we're supposed to obey. This is what we're to hold on to. Nothing's going to eat it away. And if we hold on to it, what's the second thing? The second thing is, holiness becometh thy house, O Lord, forever. Holiness, a separateness, separate from the world, separate from sinners. That's what was said about Jesus. He was holy and separate. The word holy literally means sanctified, separated. You see, a separation from this world marks the house of God. And you know who's the house of God? We are. The church of the living God is where He abides. It's not limited to any one building. It's not limited to any one mountain as it was on Mount Zion. It is where God draws His people, the ecclesia, the church, the called out, the separated. And you know what? being separate from the world and consecrated unto the Lord, marks the beauty of the church. It doesn't make her old-fashioned. It makes her just as current as God Himself is. And what she teaches will stand. And what she teaches will glorify the Lord. You ever thought about yourself as the house of God? Scripture tells us that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Holiness. Holiness of behavior based upon the true testimonies of God mark His house. Why? Because He reigns still today. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, and here's what I came for in this verse, that we should be holy. What was it that was to mark the house of God? Holiness. We should be holy and without blame. Where? Before Him. Because we've earned it? No, because of His love. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, because He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. You see, our holiness is to the praise, not of how good we are, but to the grace that has worked inside of our lives. Where does that grace come from? Comes to us through Jesus Christ. Everything He has chosen us in Christ, and everything that He's given us, every spiritual blessing comes to us through Jesus Christ. Believe Him. Follow Him. Trust Him. He reigns. You see, it's not about the preacher. It's not about the size of the congregation. It's not about the resources of the congregation. It's not about the world around the congregation. It's about the one that sits on the throne and reigns. He rules among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. Well, you're supposed to say that, preacher. You're preaching. No, I didn't say that. Scripture said that. And if I'd never read it, it'd still be just as true. You know, one of the interesting things I've noticed, and I'll conclude with this thought. One of the interesting things I noticed in the writer of this psalm, he didn't give not one argument to try to prove his point. Have you ever got in discussion with somebody and a statement's made, and then you have to follow through and defend what you've said or prove what you've said? I remember one of my first experiences in the geometry class that I took in the 11th grade of school back in the dark ages. You have to prove your answer. This step. Guess what? The writer of this psalm didn't prove anything. Didn't have to prove anything. What he gave you was the truth. And it'll stand. But I don't believe it. Don't make a difference whether you believe it or not. It's still the truth. Well, I think it's this way. Don't make any difference what you think. This is what God said. And you see, the reality of that, folks, is that's what we need to hold on to. What God said. And the thing I need to understand most is what God says about Himself. Well, this writer says this, and this writer says that. Well, I'm going to tell you that the most important thing, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, by His very breath. And the most important thing we need to understand is what God said about Himself. Because God cannot lie. And I'd leave you today with this reality. The Lord reigns. I don't have to prove it, because nobody else can disprove it. May we walk in the hope that our God reigns. We sing that hymn sometimes. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. May the Lord bless is my prayer.